Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a chilly, chilly Tuesday morning here in Marion. September the 19th, 2023, 12 minutes past the hour, 45 degrees and sunny skies here in Marion. We might have the record now for 2023 of the coldest autumn morning. Now, we're going to get into autumn later in the week because I believe the first day of autumn is September 21st, which would be on Thursday. But now I'm hearing from people, I don't remember who I heard say this, but they said the first day of autumn is September 23rd, which would be Saturday. You know, we've went through this now for nearly a decade. I think it's on the 21st. I think first day of autumn is September 21st. First day of winter is December 21st. I think the first day of spring is March 21st. And the first day of summer is June 21st. But these meteorologists get their tools out and kind of tweak everything. So I'm going to say the first day of autumn is coming up in 2 days. So we have 2 days of summer left. But boy, I'll tell you, this morning certainly does not feel like a summer morning at all. So I hope you're somewhere where either the heat is on or you have a blanket on or something of that nature, and you're having a good morning. Now, have some things I want to say here. I have a whole litany of things that I want to say because yesterday we had two really good guests on, so I hope you enjoyed that. Enjoyed yesterday's program. I really enjoyed having Luke Nichter on in hour number one, talking about the political year 1968, his new book, and of course Mr. McFeely on, talking about Walt Singh. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that here in just a second, but I do want to get two bits of business out of the way here this morning. I want to thank Mr. Shirk, one of our longtime listeners, Larry Shirk. He dropped off last week, last Friday at the station. He dropped off a whole lot of produce. He is a, what I would call a master gardener. And he plants his produce every year, and he dropped off green peppers. He dropped off tomatoes. He dropped off all kinds of peppers, and it was so good to see him. And I thank Larry and, of course, Phyllis, his wife, longtime listener as well, for doing that. Just a kind man. And so I had a lot of produce over the weekend. You know, I like to take the green peppers and go get some of the Marzetti ranch dip at the store, clean up the green peppers and dip that in the Marzetti ranch. That is a good snack for me, better than potato chips in my particular opinion. Now, as far as my tomatoes are going, I will actually tell you, since the weather has gotten a little cooler, they are turning red. They are getting big outside. So maybe before the first freeze happens, which I don't think that's supposed to happen in the next week, maybe I will get some tomatoes off of my tomato plants. Now, the other thing I wanted to say about another one of our longtime listeners, I ran into John Heimlich yesterday, John and Carolyn Heimlich, are devoted listeners to the station here, and I believe Carolyn took a little bit of a fall a couple weeks ago, and she's rehabilitating. She's going to be fine. I think she's going to be back home by the end of the month, but I know it's keeping John busy, and worrying about your wife like that is a tough thing to do. So I want to send best wishes out to John and Carolyn Heimlich, and I hope Carolyn gets better soon and gets back in front of the listening device so she can continue to listen to the radio program as they always have. So thank you to Mr. Shirk for the produce, and thank you to John and Carolyn Heimlich. Best wishes to you, and hopefully very soon you'll be back listening every morning as you always did. Now, Want to touch on the Walt Singh interview yesterday. Now, as I said on Friday, I learned, I believe it was Thursday night from his sister, that Walt Singh had passed away. Now, Walt Singh was the photographer, one of the photographers, for Mr. Rogers, Fred Rogers, and the Mr. Rogers Neighborhood program. And Walt was a fascinating guy. We all met him when we interviewed him when we went to Pittsburgh for the stamp unveiling back in 2018, and he was a great guy. And he passed away last week. So I wanted to do a little tribute to him yesterday because he was just a guy who had great knowledge. To this day, his bit of advice about how to take pictures sticks with me. You shoot up on people, or eye level with people. You shoot down on pets and animals. And very rarely does any advice stick with me, but that advice has always stuck with me from professional photographer Walt Singh. Now, yesterday, if you listened to the program, we had Mr. McFeely on, David Newell, who's been on many, many times, and we got to share memories and stories and reminiscences of Walt Singh. Now, I put that up on social media yesterday, that interview, and last night, it was listened to by quite a few people, and the comments from the family of Walt Singh, his sisters, his daughter-in-law, just thanking myself and David for doing that interview because they learned things about Walt that he never talked about, that apparently Walt was not a guy who talked a whole lot about his career, and they learned so much from that interview, and they said it helped him in this time of his passing. And his daughter-in-law said that she would be able to show that interview or let his grandkids listen to that interview to know more about their grandfather and what he did and how he created this stamp. And, you know, this job has a lot of rewarding parts. And some days you come in and you do a show and you say, hey, well, that was a good show. That was fun. But when you can do something like that, you really know that you're relaying good information. And people, it means more to people than just an interview. So I thank the Singh family for all the nice comments about the interview yesterday. And if it helped you in this time of sadness because of your brother's passing, that's about the best compliment you could give me. So, you know, we do this show every morning, but I thank the family of Walt Singh for saying all those nice things. And if it helps his grandkids learn more about him, well, I'm sorry you'll have to hear my voice for years and years and years telling you about your grandfather, but I'm glad you'll have this information about your grandfather. So I wanted to mention that. And of course, thank David Newell for coming on yesterday, who's always a great guest. Now, here's the flip side. Now, this is how stupid I can be. Now, yesterday morning, I went through McDonald's line, like I always do, and they were handing out flyers yesterday morning, which they have done before for school backpacks and back to school and all kinds of things like that. And I noticed on the flyer, it was talking about National Cheeseburger Day. And that on National Cheeseburger Day, McDonald's was going to be selling double cheeseburgers for 50 cents. Double cheeseburgers for 50 cents on the app on National Cheeseburger Day. So I thought, well, this is great. I'm going to come back and tell people about this. Well, I knew that I had two guests yesterday. I had Luke Nichter and Walt Singh, or David Newell, talking about Walt Singh. So I knew that I couldn't talk about it yesterday, but I set my little flyer over here, and I thought, well, I'll talk about it this morning, which I'm doing now. Here's the only problem. When I pulled the flyer up this morning, when is National Cheeseburger Day? Well, National Cheeseburger Day is September the 18th. Today is September the 19th. we have missed National Cheeseburger Day. We cannot go and get a 50-cent double cheeseburger today. How does that happen? That'll just tell you the mind control that I have going on here in the morning. You know, I should have looked at the date. The date is on this flyer in very big type. But all I could see was, join us for National Cheeseburger Day, 50 cents for a double cheeseburger. I did not look at the date, September 18th. So I'm sorry, no double cheeseburgers for us at 50 cents. It was yesterday, we missed it. And apparently, I've got to read the print a little closer in the morning. 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Well, you know, 10 double cheeseburgers for $5 yesterday, and we missed our shot. So, that's National Cheeseburger Day. We missed it. You know, I guess I didn't read it in all the papers yesterday and on all the newscasts that it was National Cheeseburger Day. Did anybody else know it was National Cheeseburger Day yesterday? You know, I guess I did not realize when National Cheeseburger Day fell. Apparently, it's September 18th. I'm going to have to mark all the calendars next year. That way I know when National Cheeseburger Day actually is, so I don't miss it like I did this year. Did anybody know it? Did anybody go get a double cheeseburger yesterday, by the way, for 50 cents? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. 23 minutes past the hour here. Or did you enjoy the interviews yesterday with Luke Nichter or David Newell talking about Walt Singh? That was a lot of fun yesterday. So the phone lines are open. I know we haven't had a chance to open up the phone lines here in a couple days. 740-751-4038. What a thing to miss National Cheeseburger Day. Boy, oh boy. How will we ever live through it? Well, I did want to mention this as well. Last week we learned that there is a sign over at the old certified station on Main Street that now says the Busy Bee Convenience Store will be coming. We appreciate the listener who sent us that picture. We also learned last week that the You Roll It Tobacco Store, which used to be located where Hills was here in Marion on Delaware Avenue, is now where Faye Bank was on Delaware Avenue in front of the mall. And apparently there will be a Goodwill location moving in where You Roll It Tobacco was, where it's not actually where Hills was, because where Hills was torn down. It's actually where Joanne Fabrics used to be. I don't even know what you would call it now. It's Pizza Hut used to be in the parking lot, and Hills used to be right next to it. But apparently Goodwill is supposed to go there. Now, we still don't know what's going to go on in Founders Park. Apparently they're doing some work in Founders Park downtown. Did anybody ever get any information on what's going on in Founders Park? If you have any information, give us a buzz. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. But those are the moves that we are aware of at this particular time. Now, wanted to mention this. Before we get on to a story that we're going to have to tiptoe around this other story here this morning, and I'll explain why in a second. But this story is just a positive story. Yesterday, I just got a very nice message from Jeannie Evers, the wife of Charlie Evers, who still listens to this program. I'm very happy to hear that. She sent me just a nice little note yesterday telling me what had been new with her, and I certainly do appreciate that. It's always good to hear from Jeannie. And Jeannie, I assume you're out there this morning listening. And hello to you, and I did appreciate the note, and I responded, and I'm glad everything is well. I'm glad everything is well with you and everyone else. You know, it's nice to have continuity with people who you have known for a long time. And I have known Jeannie at this point for a very long time. I worked with Charlie for probably close to 20 years. And, of course, he's been gone now for about 3 years, a little over 3 years. And I've known Jeannie, and Jeannie's been to my house for Christmas and cookouts and Thanksgiving. So, you know, you get close with people. I've been to her house for same type of things. So, you know, you don't want to lose friends or have friends go to the back burner like that. So it's always good to get a note from her. I really had not spoken to her or had any communication since the fair, where we had an absolutely delightful conversation. So I'm glad to get the message from Jeannie yesterday to know things are good with her and things are positive. So thank you, Jeannie. Appreciate the nice note yesterday, and hope all is well with you, which it sounds like it is. Now, here is the bit of unpleasantness. And I'm not even sure you'd call it unpleasant. It's not unpleasant for me, but I said I would come on this morning and I would do this, and I'm going to do it, but I want to do it in a positive way so everybody is positive. Okay, here's what happened. You think you want a show like this? Well, wait till you have to do stuff like this. I think it was a week ago today. Well, let's start from the beginning. Last Monday, I went to city council, and while I was at city council, I interviewed Bill Collins and I interviewed Glenn Coble. Okay, did those interviews. I think the Bill Collins interview was about 5 minutes. The Glenn Coble interview was about 15 minutes. You heard them here on the station. I played them both. And I played them last Tuesday, a week ago today. And that was pretty well it. We talked a little bit about them. We talked about the substance about them in regard to the interview, and I think kind of all moved on. Well, over the weekend, now this is where I want to make sure to say this right, because I said I would come on and correct this, and I will. Over the weekend, I ran into somebody who was, let's put it this way, involved with Bill Collins' group. I don't want to single anybody out here. So let's just say I ran into somebody in public who was part of Bill Collins' group. And they were not happy with some things. I don't think they were things that were said in the interview, as near as I could tell. They weren't things that were said in the interview. But apparently, I did make a comment, and this is what I want to clear up. Now, again, I don't remember making this comment, and I haven't gone back and tried to find it. I know I didn't say it in the interview, and I don't remember saying it at all, but it's quite possible I did. I'm not going to deny it. My memory's not that sharp on things like this. But apparently, at some point during the interview, or at some point last week, let's put it that way, at some point, I said, I threw the microphone. I don't know if I said I threw. I really wasn't sure on this, if the person was saying that I threw the microphone in Bill Collins' face or I threw the microphone in both Bill Collins and Glenn Coble's face. I'm not really sure what I was supposed to have said or what I did say. I don't know. But let's put it this way. If I did say that, it was hyperbole. I literally did not throw the mic in anybody's face. A matter of fact, if you threw a microphone in somebody's face, I don't think you would get any information, because you have to hold a microphone in front of somebody's face so you can hear what they're saying. So, no, I did not throw a microphone in somebody's face. If I did say that, I would imagine the context I was saying it was, you know, I was at the meeting and I threw the microphone in their face. I have not heard myself say that. Maybe I did. But if I did, that's not what I said. Or that's not what happened. Let's put it that way. If I did, it's not what happened. I put the microphone in both Bill and Glenn's face, like I would normally put it in anybody's face. I stood up. I said, can we do an interview? We did the interview. I put the microphone in their face, which I don't even know if I want to say that. I put the microphone there and they talked. Let's put it that way. But that upset some people. And well, that upset somebody. Let's put it that way. And they let me know that that had upset them over the weekend. And frankly, I don't want anybody to be upset. And you know what? I know when people are running for office. it's tough. I have said this before. It is a lot of work and time and effort to run for office, no matter what the office is. So I understand it. I understand that when your family members, when your friends are running for office, it can be tough to watch them go through criticism. Although I'm not sure that this is criticism. If I said that, I certainly was not trying to be critical of either one of them. But if it did bother somebody, I hope that you know that it was not meant or said in a way of negativity. Because it would have just been hyperbole. Because I think anybody who's ever used a microphone knows you would not throw a microphone at anybody or throw a microphone up in somebody's face. You want to hear what they have to say. So you put the microphone in their face, or you put the microphone in front of their mouth. Maybe that's the best way to say it. So this person voiced their unpleasure at that comment. And if it upset that person, again, I guess we'll go on beyond that. But I did know it upset them, and I did talk with that particular candidate. And I said I would come on and do this, and I did it. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott. Pastor Craig, how you doing?
Doing good. I'm. You know, this. You think you want one of these shows till you have one of these mornings.
Well, I mean, maybe I'll be accused of being a little bit touchy or something, but I really can't believe that somebody actually was offended or hurt or had a problem that you would have said something like that. I mean, for instance, let's talk about the Buckeyes Saturday. Would that person be upset if you said, you know, the Buckeyes just destroyed their opponent? I mean, it's obvious when you say things that are hyperbole. I really have a hard time believing that people actually get upset about stuff.
Well, it's interesting because there were two points to this I made yesterday, because this happened in public, so other people saw it. And it was interesting because yesterday I was talking to some people who had seen it, and I said, I understand when you have somebody running for office that a lot of stuff can be taken as negativity. And that's tough when you're not the candidate. You're watching your friend or your family member come under fire for things that may or may not be true. So I understand that. But I guess the problem with this particular statement is I really wasn't sure why this was an attack, and I'm still not even sure that I said it. I'm not denying it. It could have been said, but I threw a mic up in somebody's face. Well, if that upset somebody, you know, again, that was not the intention. Let's put it that way.
Well, yes, you have such a diplomatic way of saying things, Scott, but I'll just say, I think people just need to chill out a little bit.
Well, I appreciate that, but I wanted to make sure I did come on and talk. I wasn't even sure I was going to talk about it because I did not want to be accused of making it a bigger story than it was. It's not a big thing, and it didn't bother me personally, but I felt that it bothered that person. So I emailed the candidate, and I told them that I would come on, and I would set this straight. And so hopefully I have done that. And hopefully this is okay with them. Because, you know, as I've said before, I don't live in the city. I'm not voting for either one of these people, Glenn or Bill. I'm not certainly campaigning for either one of them. I send them both interview requests. I think if you listened to both of those interviews last week, I think I was very fair in both of them. And, you know, what more can you do?
That's right. I mean, yes, you have done a very good job being fair to both of them. So,
well, I appreciate the call, and
hopefully we'll go on from here and everything will be much more quiet and easy.
Yes, we can sort of float through the rest of the day.
Absolutely. Thank you, Pastor.
See ya.
All right, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. But again, if I said anything that upset anybody, it was not the intention. That's what I'm saying. So, but don't think I'm criticizing you for getting angry with me, because I understand why you got angry. As I said, running for office is a tough gig, and it's tough when you think somebody's criticizing somebody. I can tell you, because the quote is being laid to me here, that I was certainly not trying to criticize anybody, and again, if I said it, it was hyperbole. I literally did not throw any microphone in anybody's face. You just put the microphone in the face, I guess would be the... I put the microphone in front of your mouth. That's the proper verb. I don't know. But I do not want to be labeled as doing anything that is going to upset somebody. And this upset somebody, clearly. And to where... we didn't have a confrontation because, frankly, I didn't say much. The person let me know how they feel about that and a couple other things. The other things I'm not going to bring up because the other things are, well, let's just say I've brought those other things up with the candidate, and I think they understand what that's all about. But this was the thing that if I said it and if it bothered somebody, I don't want to say I apologize because it's not that. It's I'm sorry that it upset them. And I will try not to do that. And you know what? I have been obviously friends with Glenn Coble for a while. He spent 3 years at this station. And I have been friends, I think friends, with Bill Collins for a long time. I interviewed him when he was police chief. I've interviewed him when he's deputy sheriff. I've interviewed him when he's running for office. So I have no reason to be coming at either one of these people, and I don't think we're the type of news source that comes at anybody anyway. So, there you go. That's the story on that. I said I would set that clear. I hope I've set it clear. Does everybody understand now? Is that a diplomatic way of coming back and saying, if I said I threw the microphone in somebody's face, I did not throw it literally in their face? Didn't happen. All right, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Again, you think you want one of these shows till you actually have to do it. But, you know, I'll tell you part of the problem with things like this, and not necessarily this in particular. When you have 19 hours of broadcasting to fill a week, which is pretty much what I do a week, pretty close to 19 hours, you don't remember everything you say, and you do use a lot of hyperbole in what you're saying, because, like the McDonald's cheeseburger thing, you know, I don't think I'm a stupid person, but clearly I overlooked it, but I called myself stupid in hyperbole earlier on. All right, there we go. Hopefully that's straightened out, and hopefully all is well in that particular department. All right, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. If there's anything on anybody's mind this morning, from the Busy Bee convenience store to the moving of You Roll It Tobacco to the Goodwill coming to Delaware Avenue to, what else, the Walt Sing tribute yesterday. We missed National Cheeseburger Day. It was yesterday. What a sad thing. I think those are the things we were talking about here this morning. 740-751-4038. Anything on your mind? Okay. Well, here's something I want to talk about on a much lighter note. don't know how many people were listening to last Friday's show with Carrington and Matt and myself. Sean was out last week ill, so and he's feeling better, so we're glad to hear that. But we had Carrington and Matt on last Friday night, and I had them sing. Well, Matt learned it, but Carrington read it. But they did George Kosotis' PS-117 song. Now, I love this. Now, did anybody else hear this last Friday? 740-751-4038. Go ahead, caller.
Scott Spears, interviewer to the men who might be Marion's magnificent mayor.
Yeah, which leads to more conversation this morning.
Well, I'm sticking up for you. Almost thinking of when, was it Carly Marshall, the one of the news people you interview, kind of put a microphone in front of Donald Trump's face, and he answered kind of curtly, but he did answer. That's what you do as a reporter, Scott. I mean, you wear many hats. Well, you don't really wear that little yarmulke anymore. I kind of liked it, but,
it's still around. Maybe I'll break it out in the winter.
Well, yeah, it is the high holy days anyway, currently. And, you know, Sean wears that sombrero, which I think is very flattering on him. But anyway, in the figurative way of wearing many hats, you're an investigative reporter. You ask questions. And if you run for office, what do you expect? People are going to interview you and answer the questions. I would say slightly forceful. I mean, I wasn't there, but I know your nature. But that's what a reporter does. I think you handle it perfectly. Answer the questions. What do you got? What do you got to hide?
Well,
I don't see an issue at all. I think the person actually was probably envious of the fact that you did this and you got answers, because both candidates answered fairly well. I think a mountain's being made out of a molehill.
Well, I debated on whether bringing this up or not, and what basically, because it happened in public and other people saw this, where this person did not like what I had to say and brought it up to me. I mean, it was said in probably in front of about 15 people, and it was said kind of loudly, so a lot of people heard it. So that was one reason I decided I was going to bring it up. Number two, I emailed that particular candidate. It wasn't the candidate who came up to me. I want to make that clear. The candidate did not come up. It was.
I appreciate the person's opinion. I don't see what the problem was. Again, remember the Donald Trump thing with Colleen Marshall or one of them, right? This happens when you run for office. It doesn't matter if it's president or mayor or what the situation is. Answer the questions. They should be glad that you're so interested in the campaign that you wanted to talk to them. You spend time out of your evening.
Well, here's the thing. There were two other things that they were also unhappy about, but those two other things have a complete explanation, and I explained that to the candidate, and they did not seem to have a problem with that. It was this particular problem where I don't remember saying it, but maybe I did, that I threw the microphone in their face. That was something they did not like. So, and I'm not sure that I don't know if I said it or not, so I said on that point, I will come on Tuesday and I will straighten that out. And hopefully I have done that. And so that's why I'm bringing this point up and not the other two points that were this person made. But, again, it would be hyperbole because I wouldn't even know how you throw a microphone in somebody's face, literally.
Well, it's an idiom. I mean, you're there to report, and what are you gonna? The candidates and anybody should be glad to be interviewed. I mean, you can ask. You know, I go on the air with you, ask me questions. Sometimes they're kind of weird. I don't mind. I've never complained. I'm thrilled that you have so much of an interest in me that you ask the questions, and you can ask me almost anything. That's what I mean, being in law enforcement, Bill Collins certainly has faced some difficult situations. I think being on with you should be fun.
It's
the person who complained. Yes, I appreciate the person's opinion. I'm all for that. I just think, is it that big of a deal? I'm kind of seeing a little jealousy of your reporting or your investigation. So, I mean, it's a good topic of discussion, but I wouldn't sweat over it, Scott.
Well, no, I'm not sweating. And like I said, normally I would not have even brought it up, but I did promise the candidate after talking to them about it because I felt that I should talk to them because I didn't know if they were angry or not. because this person is affiliated with them who brought it up to me. So after I talked to the candidate in an email, I felt if I promised that I would come on and straighten this out, I would do that. Because that's what you're supposed to do, and that's why I'm doing it. But
yeah, you're taking the upper hand here, I think. I think you've handled it well. I mean, we hear Helen Thomas talk about why she chose you to the interview. Maybe people should listen. There's a reason. Yeah,
but,
you
but
are a big reporter.
The main
a lot of experience. I mean, you should be, but it's just we all have these skills we're gifted with, and reporting is certainly in your repertoire.
Well, I think the problem with this was it was done in a public place, and it was done rather loudly, and it was done in front of about 15 to 20 people. So I felt if it was done privately, if they had called me at the radio station, if they had come to the radio station privately, that would have been different because nobody sees that. I would have taken it into account. I would have tried to explain to them why it was done, and we would have hopefully moved on. But because it was done in public and everybody after it happened was coming up saying, who is that? Why? What was that all about? I felt that, you know, I had to contact the candidate to let them know that this had happened.
You're taking the upper hand here, I think, and that's good. I mean, listen to Helen Thomas, because she made it pretty clear why she chose you. Because, you know, we hear that top of the hour, and it's great.
Well, and I would also say this. I did tell the candidate that I'm not going to stop asking for interviews. I would doubt that we'll hear from them again up until the election. I would doubt it. But I hope it's not true. As I said to them, I said, you know, I'm going to keep asking. And if anything warrants an interview between now and then, we still got more than 30 days to go. I hope they come back on. But, you know, that's out of my control. I can ask. I can't force.
I think people running for office should want to be interviewed. I'm speaking about the certain congressperson, his first and last name begin with a J, and, you know, I bring him up a lot, and people should be glad to be interviewed by you. It's exposure anyway, even if people don't agree with what's being said, or they don't like you, or you don't like the candidate. Media and free speech are such an important part of this country. And being at the station, you know, being around you and Glenn and others, I realize that more and more. That's one of the best things about this country, is our freedom of speech. It's so important, because look at some other places. Even if they claim to have freedom of speech, there's still censorship.
Well,
I'm a say what's on your mind person. If you don't agree with me, that's fine. It's the great thing about being a human being and being in this country is freedom of expression, and not just speech, but that's certainly a big one.
Well, on the flip side of this whole thing, as I say, you know, we have the interview yesterday with David New with Walt Singh, and I post that, and his family is just effusive and finding out they knew things about Walt, or finding out about things about Walt that they never knew, and they're going to let his grandkids listen to it to know more about their grandfather. I mean, what a great tool we have here each and every morning.
No question at all. And as radio has transitioned away from music, as you just tell your Alexa what you want to listen to, or you tune into your favorite 100 million XM or stations, or other ways of listening besides over the airwaves. Talk, sports, which is almost like what radio was initially, has become more into the forefront, and that helps us. And what other better way to communicate it? And Walt communicating with his camera. Yeah, I mean, I interviewed Walt. I did the first interview. He was a great guy. Sorely missed, and I was sad to hear that. As I put, great photographer, even better as a human.
Well, and I do want to just reiterate this point again, because we've talked about this now a lot, this comment. It did not bother me. And people are free to say whatever they want to me in public. You know, it's freedom of speech. That's fine. But
I certainly do, right?
Yeah, but I mean, I just, when you say something in public, when you leave, there are people who come up and they say, well, what in the world was that all about? What, you know, that's what you get. So that's why I'm bringing it up. And again, because I told the candidate I would straighten this out. So again, if I said, and again, I haven't scoured the tapes to see if I ever did say this, but if I said that I threw the microphone in somebody's face, I did not throw the microphone in somebody's face.
It's colloquial, idiomatic, but that's what a reporter does. I said, I'm still thinking that it was Colleen Marshall writing Donald Trump, I think about the prejudice question or something to that effect. I mean, that certainly was a viral news segment. Maybe that's what people are thinking. So maybe you'll be the person to talk to Donald Trump next time he comes to Mid-Ohio and ask him what you want.
Well, I'll tell you something interesting about this. As I said before, I don't vote in this election. I live in the county, and I like both of these men personally. I've known them both a long time.
It's an interesting field for sure. We don't have candidates with the long line of experience, but they both have many things on the plus side for sure.
But at this point, we just have to realize there are not a lot of news outlets in Marion that are doing interviews. And I'm not slighting anybody, but I don't know the last time that I heard anybody ask a question. And that is what I believe. And as I explained to the candidate in the email, I said, you know, the media gets accused of getting things wrong all the time. That's why when there's a question, I go to that person. Because even if they lie to you, and I'm not saying this person is lying to me, I'm not saying that, I'm saying anybody. If you go to that person, even if they lie to you, it's what they told you. So it's factual in some way. And so I don't like to get secondhand knowledge. So that's why I've always been partial to the interview when there's a story, because I want to know what they have to say. So that's why interviews are important to me, and I think if you're not doing interviews, I think you're missing out.
I'm sticking up for you, and I think the person's probably jealous, and I can understand that. I'm jealous that you visited Phil Donahue and Marlo Thomas at their penthouse. That's not something that I do. You know, I'm glad going to Pittsburgh was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. I mean, with the sentimental value attached to that, you know, that brought this up, ad infinitum, but it's something I will never forget. But that's fine. Instead of being jealous, look at someone as a role model and what you can learn from that person.
Well, you know what?
I wasn't there. You know, I know your nature. And again, it's colloquial, throw a microphone in someone's face. That's what reporters do. I mean, Colleen Marshall, Jerry Revish, all the reporters you talk to, Sam Donaldson, I mean, that's their job. And they do it with courtesy and dignity, which is what sets them apart. And I can't see Jerry being anything other than polite to someone, but if he still wants an answer, and he'll get it.
Well,
people respect him.
It's an interesting.
I mean, and Colleen and all those people. I don't see what the issue. You know, Sam Donaldson certainly, and as we've heard when he's been on with you, he doesn't. He is not shy to spew forth his opinion, and that's great. That's his job. You don't have to agree with him. I don't agree with most of what he says, but I still respect him greatly. I love his voice. So.
Well,
you look at that and you learn from that, even if you don't agree with somebody.
Well, we shall go down the road with this now. Hey, thanks, Adam.
Yeah. Anyway, you'll hear tomorrow. Not surprisingly, Dr. Feynman, aka Ron, knows Dr. Nichter, aka Luke, and we will talk about that tomorrow on the show. So
perfect.
We have these presidentologists on the air and. Yeah, really, two of the best guests ever yesterday. Very different types of guests, but it was a good program. I'm not gonna provide jealousy or say that you're throwing a microphone in someone's face. I'm just saying that you're a good reporter and you get good guests and you learn something and you giggle a bit when you listen to your show, and that's what it's all about. That's what talk radio is, and that's why we're the best.
Oh, thanks, Adam.
All right, see you later.
Dr. Feynman and Adam tomorrow, 12:15 to 1 p.m. on this station. There you go. Little programming note. 56 minutes past the hour. Again, phone lines are open. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. We've got 4 minutes left until the break here, so we can talk about whatever you'd like to now. I think I've done all the things that I needed to put on out there this morning. All right. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, just tuned in just a few minutes ago. Who are you supposed to throw a microwave in there, or the microphone in their face?
Well, what happened? I don't even know if I've said which one yet. But when I interviewed both of the mayoral candidates last week, not either one of the candidates. It wasn't the candidates that came to me. I want to make that clear. It was somebody who is involved with one of the candidate campaigns. Came to me on Sunday in a public place and voiced their displeasure about the interview that I had done with their candidate, and said about three different points that they didn't like. And two of the points I'm not even going to bring up, because I've already discussed those with the candidates and told them why they happened. But there was a point where this person said, you threw that microphone, or you said you threw that microphone up in the candidate's face. Now, I don't remember saying that on the air. Maybe I did. And so I said I would come on and correct that. So if I said I threw the microphone up in their face, I did not throw a microphone in their face. It was hyperbole. I put it in their face. I put it in front of their mouth, whatever. But they were unhappy with it. I understand it, though. I don't want anybody to say that I don't understand this.
It wasn't either a candidate. It was somebody who worked for the...
Yes, it was not either... somebody who is close to that candidate. I don't even want to name the person, but because that serves no purpose.
You're not going to say which candidate it was?
No, because... I don't want to come off as being partial to either candidate. And I think that's what the accusation was here, was that I was not being fair by saying that. And I am trying to be fair. So, I'm not going to name the candidate. And it wasn't the candidate. It was somebody who is close to that candidate, I guess is what I'll say. But one of the reasons I'm bringing this up, number one, I told the candidate I would correct this point. And also, it happened in public in front of about 20 people. So, you can't just dust it under the rug. Had it happened in front of nobody, I wouldn't bring it up. But I didn't throw the microphone in somebody's face. Let's put it that way. I put it in their face as I would normally put it in anybody's face.
Well, like Adam says, anytime you run for office and if you're working for... a candidate, you know, what do you expect?
Well, I appreciate that they're listening.
Saying that you won't give them no time on the air.
No, and I will give them any time they want. As far as Glenn and Bill go, anytime they want to do something, they are more than welcome to come on. I appreciate it. Hey, we're coming up on the break, so if you want to say something, we'll call back after the break.
Okay.
All right, we got to go to break. We're coming back with much more. After this, on The Talking Place, don't you dare go anywhere.
The place for guests like Dean of the White House Press Corps, Helen Thomas.
Helen, how do you deal with criticism? Because certainly 10 presidents, you've had your share of criticism. How do you deal with that?
Well, in the first place, you look at it and you see whether it's valid or not. And then you consider the source.
And